you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
The Apostle Paul speaking. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, the reason he says that, he didn't bring me to baptize, and he did baptize a few people, but he didn't. The reason he said that is because there was disunity in the church in Corinth. There was this thing going on where people had their favorite preachers. They had their favorites that they wanted to listen to, and the ones that weren't their favorites, they didn't want to listen to. And so they said, I'm of Apollos. I like his intellectual approach to the Bible. And another said, well, I'm of Cephas. I enjoy his preaching because he's really down to earth. He talks on my level. And another said, well, I'm of Paul because he goes into the Old Testament, uses a lot of Old Testament illustrations. And then the hyper-spiritual one said, well, I'm just of Jesus. I get all my information directly from the Lord. And they would suck air from Jesus. You know they're spiritual when they suck air. Jesus. And they would go through that, you know, little dramatic thing to let you know they're spiritual. So there was disunity. Everybody had their favorite preacher. When their not favorite preacher was there, it was, oh, I don't want to have to listen to him. And they would kind of mentally shut them off. And really, we know that who's ever in this pulpit, whether it's a pulpit or a table or whatever people use, who's ever in the pulpit, who's ever speaking, if they're speaking truth and they're born again, the Holy Spirit's in them, they're speaking truth, we know that the Spirit of God is in it. Doesn't matter if their style is not what you like, or the way they speak is not how you like it. Because the Holy Spirit is in it if it's truth. If it's error, he's not in it. No matter how eloquent you are, no matter what, if you're a great orator, you're charismatic in your personality, you've got great jokes like I do, it does not matter how good they are if they're not speaking the truth. If they're speaking in error, then the Holy Spirit is not in it. But they're winning people over with their charisma, with their personality. But if they're speaking truth, even if they're fumbling with the words, even if they can't put two sentences together that you think make sense, God can still use them and speak through them. God used a jackass in the Old Testament, spoke to Balaam the prophet. Why can't he do that now? He's doing that right at this moment. He can speak through whatever. If they're speaking truth, then we should give an ear to it. And even if they're not preaching in the style that we like, there are people that say, well, I like the more bombastic style. People, you know, snorting and going back and forth on the stage and hollering and throwing their hands up and everything. I like that style. And another person says, I don't like it when they yell at you. I like more of a quiet presentation. If God's in it, if it's true, God's in it, and whatever is being said, there may be something in it for me that the Holy Spirit wants to impress upon my heart. So I should give heed to it. I should give my ears to it. But that wasn't happening in Corinth. And so Paul said, you know what? I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you, because then you would have thought you belonged to me. That you would have been somehow, I baptized you, so therefore you somehow were connected to me more than you were connected to anyone else. So I'm glad I didn't do that because of the way you are. But God sent me to preach the gospel. Not with the eloquence of words, not with philosophical, flowery presentations, not with the wisdom of words like the world sees wisdom, but just simply, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. See, I preach the gospel, and that means the cross. The cross, I present the gospel to them, and I say, hey, the cross is a historical fact. It happened. It took place. That is a historical fact. And what we are offering you today is the benefits of that cross, of that crucifixion. There were benefits that came from that crucifixion. God sent his Son, and in fact, God himself went to the cross and died for my sins, took the penalty for my sins so that I could be forgiven and set free from any penalty, any judgment in the future against my sins, because Jesus took it. I'm offering you the benefits. I'm preaching the gospel to you. And there are ongoing benefits of the cross even after I'm a Christian. But he said, I'm preaching the gospel. And I don't want to mess it up with eloquence and philosophical words or anything else. I want it to be very clear, very simple. Jesus died for you. That doesn't get old. It shouldn't never, ever get old in my heart to hear that. 40 years a Christian, I should be able to cry when I think about Christ dying for me. But I learned it 40 years ago. Shouldn't I be over it by now? No. It should touch me just as have the same kind of impact in me that it had 40 years before. Verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to the world. The world thinks the message of the cross is foolishness because the cross says, just come and believe and you'll be saved. And the world says, no, that's ridiculous. Good people get saved. Good people go to heaven. You've got to have good behavior to get into heaven. That's what the world thinks. That's the wisdom of the world. That's what they grow up thinking. That only those who are good go to heaven, and they have a concept of success that means getting ahead always, right? Success in the world is making more money. Or if you live in a grass hut in some jungle somewhere in the world, and success there might be the more bones you have hanging in your doorway, the more successful you are as a warrior. So the more bones I have, the more I have. In that case, it's not money, it's bones. The more I have, the more successful I am. That's the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world is, what is success? It's having more of whatever society decrees is of value. It's to have more. But to those who, that's foolishness, the cross. It's foolishness to think that the salvation is a free gift and that it's not by works. And there's nothing you can do to ever merit salvation. God gives it to you as a gift simply because you went to the foot of the cross and believed on who Christ is and what he did. That's foolish to the world, foolish to the natural mind, right? The things of the Spirit of God are foolish to the natural mind in 2:14 of the same book. It's foolish. But to those who are being saved, the cross is the power of God. It is where a person who's headed for hell all of a sudden is now heading for heaven. And it happened like that. And it didn't require him to do anything but believe. That's all God asked, just believe. He didn't ask for one other thing in order to give me that gift. The cross is foolish to the natural man. But the cross is powerful to us because of what it accomplished for us and in us. It's powerful for us. And we know when we preach the cross to somebody, that can change their destiny, change their life forever. We know it has the power to do that if they who are listening believe in what we're saying. It has the power to change. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. What's the wisdom of the wise? In this world, works. Achievement. Accomplishments. And I will bring to nothing the understanding of the intellectual, the prudent, the wise person, the one who thinks he got it all figured out. Human wisdom thinks it has life all figured out. It thinks it understands what success is. And yet Jesus comes on the scene in Luke 12:15, and he said to them, take heed, beware of your covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the things he possesses. It has nothing to do with how high on the corporate ladder you climb. It has nothing to do with how much money you have. Has nothing to do with whether you have a great looking house or you live in a shack. Has nothing to do with gaining things in this life. That's not really where your life is at. Those things are nice if God blesses you with them, enjoy them, it says in the Bible, but your life doesn't consist of those things. That's not your life. Worldly success is really not success in God's eyes. That means nothing to him. The wealthiest men in the world, the men who have achieved so much in life, mean nothing to God. Their success means nothing to him. Nor does being good merit them anything in God's eyes. The only thing that merits anything in God's eyes is what Christ did. God the Father is focused on what Jesus did, not on what you do or what you don't do. He's focused on what Christ accomplished, and then when you get saved, you are where? In him. You receive the benefits that go to him because you're in him. You're his body. What he receives, you receive. The reward he gets in heaven, you get in heaven. What he receives, you receive. Because you are him. Once you become a Christian. So where is the wise in verse 20? Where is the scribe who is supposed to be the intellectual of that day? Where is the disputer of this age? Where are the philosophers? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world by bringing in the cross? Hasn't he made it foolish to think that you can actually impress God with things that you do? Cain tried to do that. He brought a nice little vegetable plate, beautifully arranged, had a dip in the middle, tasty dip, had beautiful, but that didn't impress God. What impressed him? What Abel brought, which was a sacrifice, which was something that blood poured from. Abel brought blood, representing the blood of Christ.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Are you tired of trying to rid your home of ants, roaches, and spiders? Have rodents invaded your attic? Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work?